The MCG is in sight now. This massive stadium that has hosted so many famous sporting events.
It's on its way from Barham and it's through. A few little how-do-you-dos. It's not a tea party out there, but there's no need to make it like Stadium Hall, fellas, so keep it cool.
The pain is temporary, but glory lasts forever.
Barham is there. It is. Beautiful. Beautiful, Mel Barham.
Because this is something to savour. Something to remember for the rest of your life.
On Hungry for Sport, Friday Sports Chat with Dave Colbert and Neil Barr.
It's great to catch up with DC and Barmy. G'day, Barmy.
How are you, mate?
Good win last week by the Pies.
Yeah, it wasn't looking too good for 15 minutes, but they were pretty good after that. It was both teams got a bunch of reasonable young blokes, and under the pressure of the game, it was good for our guys to stand up. So we'll see how we go tomorrow in the really big stage. Essendon are playing pretty well. So it's a wonderful thing to be
involved. Been a big week for the Pies. What's happened down at Collingwood leading into this Anzac game?
Oh, it's still going. There's a lot of stuff around. It's actually really interesting you ask that, because our historians, we've put together a magnificent thing out in the front in the foyer, which is they've uncovered some letters from the front, etc., from the First World War, and done a lot of things. It's a magnificent setup.
So
it's beautifully
done. Can the general public go in and have
a look? Well, I assume so. It's in the front part, the foyer part. So I'm not quite sure what the protocols are, but it will be accessible to everyone. But don't all turn up today at once. But it is really very interesting to see some beautiful stuff, some very poignant stuff. I mean, and it's like, you know, we in footy, it's sort of attaching Anzac Day and footy in the same breath as. You know, we kind of know that there's a lot of symbolism about it. I mean, playing footy is nothing like having to go to war, but it is the connection between certainly Essendon and particularly Collingwood and the Anzac spirit is quite significant, particularly when you've got some of this historical stuff. It's really interesting to see. Like one of the poor young men who was killed on the first step onto the beach was a former Collingwood player. Only played one game, as it turned out, and he'd played a couple for Geelong beforehand. Boy, a young man called Cordner. He was 24. So it was just hearing those sorts of stories. Like, you know, you might think it's a bit gratuitous in some ways, but it's a really poignant connection to, you know, our footy clubs and their communities and these young men who went to war in such difficult and tragic circumstances. So it was a very powerful week for everyone, but particularly for Collingwood people.
Now, DC, happy about Anzac Day in terms of the AFL.
No, I'm happy about Anzac Day. I think it's
a game that's been played on Anzac Day.
Well, the AFL have hijacked Anzac Day completely. We've now got an Anzac round. You know, it's Anzac Eve.
Oh, come on.
I can
remember when Anzac Day was nearly a forgotten thing. If it weren't for footy, it'd still be relatively forgotten.
I love what Kevin Sheedy and Essendon and Collingwood have done. I'd love to know how much is actually donated to the RSL.
Well, what's that got to do with it?
Well-kept secret.
What's that got to do with anything?
Is that a kept secret?
Yeah, well, you try and find out what the amount is.
I don't get the point of that. Let me finish.
The Carlton...
It's an individual sports person's attack on something.
The Carlton St Kilda clash being live from New Zealand at 11 a.m. tomorrow morning is an absolute disgrace.
And because
there's state government legislation that says that there can be no sporting events in Victoria until 1 p.m. so that we have time to
reflect.
Dawn service, parade tomorrow.
You can't legislate
everyone,
people actually
everyone
caring
should be
about
watching
something, you know?
The dawn service from Gallipoli tomorrow.
Why?
Not watching Carlton St Kilda play football.
What if you go to the local dawn service? What if you do it in Melbourne?
Aren't you entitled to do that? They can't play that game in Melbourne, so let's play it in New Zealand and broadcast it back.
I think
it's a disgrace.
Very cynical view of the whole thing.
As I said, I like what Collingwood and
Essendon have done. It's what the footy community
has
done.
Now, the footy community then, you know, we've all got commemorative jerseys. You can buy an Anzac Day membership at Collingwood. It's wrong. It's just as wrong as what Woolworths did. Just as wrong.
What did Woolworths do?
Well, they tried to hijack the Anzac spirit and the look and with their Fresh in Their Memories campaign. It's not right.
Yeah.
It's not right.
Well, give us your thoughts on that, because DC's very strong on the fact that this game should not be beamed in live here at 11 o'clock. There's too much happening. There's the service, the 100th service, of course, commemorating what took place at
Surely
Gallipoli.
People can make their own decisions,
well,
can't they?
Well, they can. They can. But well, on this occasion, DC feels very strong.
You couldn't play that game in Melbourne at 11 o'clock.
Yeah, but look,
so
we've
play it in New Zealand so it can be broadcast live? You can't play that game in Australia in most instances. I'm pretty sure that sort of legislation is similar around the country. So the AFL move, it didn't work at night, so let's move it to New Zealand where the time zone allows us to play it at 11 o'clock in the morning.
So
it's not right.
So when the
Live up against the memorial from Gallipoli on this most significant day, and I think it's wrong.
Well, so when Rugby League plays a game on Good Friday, you say there should be legislation stopping that.
Well, there's no legislation. No, it's a completely separate issue.
There's
government legislation that says you couldn't start that match, Collingwood Essendon at 10:30 on.
I get that. So you say because it's legislated, therefore that probably makes it all right.
I just think morally you shouldn't be playing that game that's live at 11 o'clock on Anzac Day when you can't play. If you can't play it in Melbourne, you shouldn't be playing it anywhere. That's my view.
People in New Zealand would be saying, well, because of our time zone over there, it's a couple of hours ahead.
People in New Zealand couldn't give a rat's toss bag about this match, KB. So I don't think it really matters what the people in New Zealand... This is designed...
Well, Michael Netterfold
just
told us they do care.
This is designed
got a lot
to turn Anzac Day into a day for the AFL. And that's what it's been about for the last 5 or 6 years.
I'm not convinced.
A long time after the... Collingwood.
Cynical view.
I am the cynic when it comes to this sort of stuff because it's all about the cash for the AFL.
If it's legislated, you say it's okay.
How much is Collingwood donating for your Anzac jerseys that you're selling?
I have no idea.
A portion of proceeds. Well, unless it's 100% of the proceeds, it's wrong.
No, but that's,
and you're
that's
benefiting
rubbish. That's
from
absolute rubbish.
You're commercialising Anzac Day for your own benefit, unless it's 100% of the proceeds.
So we've all got to ignore Anzac Day.
No. We do what we've done, what we did. When this is the point, Barmy, that the Collingwood-Essendon clash, in many ways, reinvigorated Anzac Day many people.
Put the spotlight and helped it to grow.
And that should remain. And that should be the only thing that happens.
Well, no.
If we go to the game, Anzac we shouldn't jerseys, charge. You didn't sell sell Anzac memberships, which you do now.
Well, what's wrong with that?
That's profiting from Anzac Day.
Oh, sorry. So everyone who goes to the game shouldn't pay to go in?
No, they should pay, and a significant proportion...
It's taking advantage of Anzac Day.
And a significant proportion of that should go to the RSL. A significant
proportion. The RSL's never even asked for it. I don't think the RSL actually require it.
There's a donation from ticket
sales
that
goes.
I'm sure there is. But I think that in the...
Don't you think the RSL would be... If they weren't happy with what they're getting, wouldn't they ask?
Yeah, they probably would. But I'm just talking about what is happening. From my perspective, the commercialisation of Anzac Day has become a big topic this year. And the AFL have led the charge, and they're getting away with what I think is... So,
do you think we might have commercialised Christmas Day? Do you reckon we should stop that?
Well, we should play a game on then
as
well.
No presents on Christmas Day. It's commercialising Christmas. I mean,
different, Barmy. We're talking
about... What's slightly different? It's the same principle.
One of the most significant moments in Australian history, which has now been hijacked by any brand that can get their hands on it, led by the AFL.
If you've got anything
anyway, let's
to do
ask
with,
the listeners yeah, whether I think no. I'm crazy or...
So I just want to make a final point. If you think legislating something makes it a good idea, so we've now legislated the fact that there's a day off the day before grand final day. Well, it's legislated. You can't say it's madness.
But that's what the law is. You cannot play sport in Victoria before 1 p.m. on Anzac Day. And I think it's a very, very good thing.
If you're going to have a kick in the front yard at 11 o'clock,
you're going
to be in trouble.
Let me remind you, I'm not talking about Collingwood-Essendon match. I'm talking about the fact that the AFL have moved the Carlton St Kilda match to New Zealand. It's going to be broadcast live into Australia at 11 o'clock. And it's up against the live coverage of the ceremony coming out of Gallipoli.
Well,
That should get you going. Barmy and I are not friends this morning, but anyway.
When have you ever been friends?
It was a robust debate. There's
couple
nothing
years
wrong
ago,
with having
one
a different,
day.
Well,
there's nothing wrong with having
we'll
a different
see,
view.
Do your
this
fans
is my
agree
view.
Or disagree with... DC, he believes that it's been hijacked by the AFL and it's far too commercial to have that game being beamed in when other Anzac activities are taking place, particularly the service coming out of Gallipoli. Tim joins us in Footscray. G'day, Tim.
Oh, g'day, boys. Look, I've got to agree with Dave today. Look, a lot of these things...
Well, hang up then.
Well, there's a lot of things, whether it's right or wrong. I think to what degree is a factor, and where do you draw that line? And I think this year with the game out of ANZ, really disappointing at 11 o'clock. And as far as hijacking Anzac Day, Collingwood and Essendon, like, as much as they might talk, it is a genuine financial interest why they want to jealously guard that day. Like, they didn't create Anzac Day. They didn't create football on Anzac Day. What they said is we were going to play it all alone. And in the spirits of, like, a fair go and those sort of things, give someone else a go. Like, it has been this year, Dave raised a good point about the commercialisation of Anzac Day. Like, the thing with Woolworths, like, how dare they commercialise Anzac Day? Because that's the job of Carlton United Breweries this year. You know, I think, Dave, you're on the ball. I feel really uncomfortable with the degree of it. Like, it's not to say that you can't do anything, but to what degree is a debatable point.
Actually, it's interesting. Some people said to me that, you know, the Herald Sun brought out the paper with the Anzac medals, and you could get, you know, buy the Herald Sun and you get the coupon and you get the commemorative coins. And a lot of people were not quite happy with that as well, thinking that, well, it's one way to try and, you know, increase circulation, you know, buy the paper and you get the coupon and then you get the medals as well. So a lot of people not quite comfortable with that as well.
And everyone has their own different position on what's, you know, the VB Raise Your Glass campaign. You know, I've heard the RSL talk about this and they're very supportive of it. I'm uncomfortable with it. I think the ad that they've got with the all the young men outside the Shrine whistling the song and telling the story about what they did when they faced that situation in battle, and they kept on singing and kept on singing, and as they fell, the ones that were still standing kept on singing, is very powerful. The fact that it's all about raising a glass, it's not, from VB's perspective, is it about raising a glass or is it drinking VB? That's the question. Hmm. And so that's where, you know, there's this difficulty. And as I said, Collingwood, Essendon, Anzac Day, go along. For those that have ever been there, it's unbelievable. And it's a great way to celebrate the day in a quintessentially Australian way. The Carlton St Kilda match, 11 o'clock, been back in, bridge too far for me.
Bruno is in Geelong. Wants to talk about that, Anzac Day. G'day, Bruno.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. Look, I just want to sort of echo some of the sentiments that have already been said. My great-grandfather fought at Gallipoli. My two grandfathers fought in the World War. I'd like the opportunity for my beloved Cats to be able to play on the traditional Anzac Day. I find it absolutely reprehensible. Something Barmy said, that Anzac Day game is particularly special to Collingwood because of a young man named Cordner, who played for Collingwood and then died in Gallipoli, and then went on to mention that he actually played for Geelong prior to playing for Collingwood. So is it not just as special to Geelong? It's reprehensible that only two clubs get to play on arguably the second biggest game of the year, every single year. The two losing preliminary finalists from the year before should get the opportunity to play it.
Well, that's probably another topic, who should play on Anzac Day, and that's been discussed many, many times. There's been a general feeling that, you know, Kevin Sheedy and Bruce Ruxton got together and formulated this game, and then, you know, the RSL completely behind it, and the AFL, and virtually got the whole country and all the politicians behind it as well. And therefore, you know, plus they've had a couple of great games, and the first game was a draw. And from that point on, they felt, well, these two clubs are significant with this Anzac Day game. We've got five games on Anzac Day, including one coming out of New Zealand, which we don't like at the moment.
DC certainly doesn't
like, but I'm sympathetic to your thoughts on that.
It doesn't bother me that Collingwood and Essendon, you know, if you invent something, you deserve to have some ownership of it. And I think that, you know, Kevin Sheedy, rightly, along with Bruce Ruxton, he went to Ruxton and said, what do you think? Let's do it. I should clarify about the legislation. It's charging admission. So you can have a sporting event before, most people don't, but you can have a sporting event before 1 p.m. on Anzac Day, but you can't charge admission.
We'll take a break. We'll come back past 10, and DC has joined us along with Neil Barham. We're taking your calls. You can always set the sporting agenda. Certainly DC has this morning with his thoughts on that Carlton St Kilda game. Ben's in Bulleen. G'day, Ben.
Yeah, g'day, guys. Yeah, just following on from that last caller, like, Anzac Day is a fantastic day. I know that Essendon and Collingwood have had it for 20 or so years, but I think it's past them, those two clubs having it every year. I think the other guy, the losing pre-finals, they should probably play in it, because it's just not fair for all the other fans, etc. And it will make the day even better knowing that the two prelim losers get a game that's probably the biggest other than the grand final. I just don't think Essendon and Collingwood should get it. North Melbourne started Friday night footy. They made it their own, and now it's not theirs. So Collingwood and Essendon don't own this day, and it should be given to other clubs for other supporters and also players to participate in an experience.
Have you changed your view on this, Barmy, now that you're actually in one of the... Were you with Collingwood when it first started?
No, that was 95, I think.
Okay,
so
you'd gone by then.
Yeah.
Do you have a different view now that you're inside Collingwood than you had
last year?
No, I don't.
I don't think that it's
playing?
Absolutely owned by Essendon and Collingwood. I think the AFL has to make the draw, and they have to make it for all a number of reasons, and one of them is to say, how do we get big drawing games on big days? This seems to work pretty well.
It does. Yep.
And that's probably why they do it. Now, I don't say that
I would think
that North Melbourne and Geelong shouldn't be playing Anzac Day at the MCG. Maybe they should. Now, would they get 95,000? Maybe they would, maybe they wouldn't. I mean, that's a whole other agenda and conversation as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
But, I mean, obviously, being at Collingwood, I'd love to play on Anzac Day, and it's an important part of our program. But I don't say it should always be that way, but you'd have to come up with a pretty good alternative, I would have thought, because tends to work pretty well.
I would think, Neil and DC, that the game has become so synonymous now through Essendon and Collingwood that if you played any two Melbourne sides on Anzac Day, that you would get a massive crowd going along. I think, you know, supporters would come. I think football fans would come. I still think you'd pack out the MCG. I don't really agree that you just have, say, the preliminary finalists, because it could be West Coast and Fremantle. And I don't know whether playing West Coast and Fremantle, you still get a terrific crowd there. But I think if it's in Melbourne, if that game's in Melbourne, if it's over there, of course you'd have those sides. But I think you could put any of the 10 Victorian-based sides playing on Anzac Day, and I think you get big crowds. And in fact, there's records that say, I'm pretty certain that day they broke the record. Was that the day they broke the record out at Waverley? Was that an Anzac Day when Hawthorn, did they play North Melbourne when they got over 90,000? Then all of a sudden...
At Waverley?
Remember at Waverley? And then, I'm just going from memory here.
How many are still there trying to find their car?
Probably half of them.
Yeah, they bought those houses out there because they thought it was a better way to do it.
But then after that, because there were so many people there, they realised you could not get that many people in there. So I think they brought the capacity back to about 75,000 or 70,000, although a lot of people think that often we went above that. But I think it might have been an Anzac Day game. But they have drawn big crowds before on Anzac Day when it hasn't been Collingwood Nest, and that's all the point I'm making. Anthony's in Adelaide. G'day, Anthony.
Thanks for taking the call.
Good, Anthony.
Just ringing up about the Anzac Day medal. Now, with the medal, it seems that only Collingwood and Essendon players can win it. But it's unfair. Why can't there be a medal for anyone on winning or getting best on ground on Anzac Day or the Anzac Day round?
Well, don't get me started on this one, because that is another thing that really makes me uncomfortable. The Anzac medal to the player who best
on the ground?
Demonstrates the Anzac spirit.
Yeah.
Please. We don't need it.
So you're saying we should not have an award on that day because
There's nothing that can compare.
Compare to the Anzac spirit.
And the Anzac spirit, you know, this is... That is the... for a while there, we went over the top. I think we've got it right now with the way the players and the clubs and the commentators describe the game. It's a game. That's all it is. But the Anzac medal is... I don't think we need it. And while I'm on it, can I talk about one more thing?
I
don't want to hear the last post on every game either. The last post happens on Anzac Day. And now we've even got our junior footballers on a Sunday morning lining up and hearing the last post.
That would be play tonight.
Yeah, maybe I'm crazy and Neil doesn't agree. That's fine. But
no, I agree, you're crazy.
The last post is an Anzac Day thing for me.
Okay. So tonight, I mean, Ron Brash is lining a cauldron tonight, and the last post is going to be played tonight.
I'm a bit uncomfortable.
Because that is sort of seen as an Anzac round, but you're saying it's not an Anzac round.
I certainly feel more uncomfortable with it on Sunday than I do on Friday. I'm not sure why. This is all gut feeling, and people have got to make their own individual view on what they think of it.
I'll come back to that big crowd at Hawthorn and Collingwood. Certainly there was 92,000. It was a Queen's birthday. There was another big crowd that went along to one of the Anzac Day games when both Collingwood and Essendon were not playing. But just on the Anzac Day medals for our caller too, Anthony in Adelaide, medals are awarded on Anzac Day. Dan Henenberry won it in Sydney when they played in New Zealand, I think in 2013. Lee Montagna last year for the Saints in another game on Anzac Day. And I think also that maybe some of the interstate clubs give their own medals, I think, on Anzac Day. Yeah. I think some VC winners maybe over in Western Australia might be named.
I think there's certainly one in at the Freo game.
Or, I think so. So there are medals given, but you don't like the idea of an Anzac medal.
Well, to the player that best exemplifies the Anzac spirit. Yeah. You know, this is not war, it's a game.
It's really the best player, isn't it?
Yeah, the great Josh Kay, the great stats man, for the man that puts the words in Bruce's mouth. Bruce knows nothing about football unless Josh tells him what the stats are. He's just sent me a text. He's listening as he always does. Hawthorn and Collingwood on Queen's birthday, 1981, VFL Park, 92,935. No other footy crowd ever more than 80,000 at Waverley. So maybe you've got your games.
No, I'm saying
confused.
There was a big crowd. A big crowd on.
Even 80s huge.
It may not have been.
About 55 or 60, didn't it?
Look, it may not have been. It might have been at the MCG. Okay. And it might have been Footscray playing North Melbourne. They might have got 65,000 or 70,000.
But it was on Anzac Day.
On Anzac Day. Okay. On Anzac
Day. Well, Josh will now busily go through the spreadsheet to tell me Anzac Day.
What we need
Day
from
footballs.
Josh Kay is to tell us what's been the biggest crowd played on Anzac Day
other
than.
Before Collingwood and Essendon.
Yes, before Collingwood and Essendon. We'll take a break. We'll come back and we'll fly through. Following up our conversation, 1975, Carlton played the Bombers. 77,770 fans went to VFL Park. There was a record crowd then for VFL Park, obviously surpassed by that game with Hawthorn and Collingwood. That was Anzac Day. And then 2 years later, in 1977, Richmond played Collingwood on Anzac Day at the MCG. Guess how many people turned up that day?
You were playing?
I was playing and Barmy was playing this
so
game.
A lot.
It was on Anzac
how
Day in 1977.
Full house.
92,436 fans turned up at the MCG that day just to see Barmy and I play.
Sheeds played as well.
Sheeds played as well. There was one other person there that probably they came to see that day, and it was Tom Hafey coaching against Richmond for the very first time as coach of Collingwood. And 92,436 fans turned up at the MCG. So in 1986, the league used Anzac Day to attempt its first ever doubleheader. Held at the MCG, that would have thrilled you, DC. Melbourne versus Sydney was in the afternoon. A 30-minute break. Then Geelong played North Melbourne in the evening under lights. A total crowd of 40,000 turned up.
So they played two games at the MCG. They were both at the MCG.
40,117 is all that turned up for those two games.
So super statsman Josh Kay tells me also, as well as confirming all of those statistics about that Collingwood-Richmond match in 1977, 117 VFL-AFL matches have been played on Anzac Day. When do you reckon the first one was?
When they played on Anzac Day?
Yep.
Well, if it was a Saturday, they would have always played,
wouldn't they?
No,
it actually wasn't on a Saturday.
Okay.
It's in 1960.
1960.
It was a Monday, so it was a public holiday, I presume. It might have been Anzac Day on that Monday. And there are two games played. Fitzroy defeated Carlton and Melbourne defeated St Kilda. So maybe Fitzroy and Carlton should own Anzac Day.
Well,
Fitzroy defeated
Carlton. The Carlton supporters would be happy. They'll
and Melbourne defeated
St Kilda. Definitely get a win. Playing no one.
So there you go. There's a bit of Anzac Day history, which is the benefit of all of these discussions because, you know, sport in Australia is totally linked to our society and what we do and how we live it and et cetera. And, you know, these are the good discussions that you can have about now that Barmy's got his head off my foot off my neck. And
I must admit, I have warmed a little bit to your argument.
Barmy and I were in the first ruck that day. We had 40 kicks between us.
Right.
We had 19 hit-outs between us.
Yep.
And we had 3 marks between us.
Right.
And there was 1 handball between us.
Right. I must have had that one, I reckon.
Matthew joins us in Berwick. G'day, Matty.
Hi, fellas. Just to start, is having the Anzac Day between the two losing prelims. I mean, what did North Melbourne versus Port Adelaide get last week? That just wouldn't work. But what I rang for is, you know, the AFL asked the RSL for permission to start that game at 11 a.m. and Foxtel and the AFL aren't going to make people watch the St Kilda Carlton game. If they don't want to watch it and they want to watch something else, well, that's their choice.
Yeah, of course. And that's, you know, as Barmy said, if you want to watch it, you can watch it. And you're right that the RSL have given permission. I don't think the question should have been asked. I think, as we've seen in previous years when there have been multiple games, and not a recent phenomenon where we've had more than one game on an Anzac Day, And when it has been on a Saturday, we've had multiple games, but I just don't think that they should be starting before the first match should be the Collingwood-Essendon match.
I guess in a sense it's a kind of a respect issue, which I'm sure that they went through and got the tick off on, but it does make some sense.
Yep. But that doesn't mean the RSL hasn't made a wrong decision here. Every decision made by the RSL is not always spot on. Now, you know, maybe they just didn't factor in, you know, what you're saying is that, you know, the TV comes back in, it's when the service is taking place at Gallipoli, there is, you know, a conflict there, you've got a game being played. They may not have actually, you know, worked
possibly
that through.
Don't know.
They anyway. May not have worked it through. Shane is in South Melbourne. Good day, Shane.
How you going, guys?
Good, Shane.
Question for Barmy. Barmy, your president, along with Hawthorn president, seem to be the most vocal about this, the academies. Now, I'm sick and tired of them having a shot at Sydney and all that sort of stuff. I've got a simple solution for this. Why doesn't the ASL just pay for the academies, let the Swans, Greater Western Sydney, Gold Coast and Brisbane run the academies because they're in their states, but the AFL pays for it and the kids just go into the greater pool? Why can't we do that? Why do we have to have it's coming out of Sydney's money in there for Sydney or there for Greater Western Sydney? Why can't the AFL just pay for it? And then that takes away any bias.
I'm certain the AFL
couldn't have said it better myself.
But I think the AFL pays for some of those academies. They help.
Well, no, of course they do. They pay for far more than we're kind of led to believe. We're saying that the New South Wales and Queensland, and I understand why they need some special consideration because they aren't in Victoria.
Not the heartland.
They aren't in the heartlands, and I kind of get that. But the story, the case is always made that these clubs have got to spend a heap of money on these things, therefore they need to get access to
develop the game.
It should be the AFL's issue, and I think probably essentially it is. I'm not sure that it costs them as much as everyone says it does. But the point from Sydney's point of view would be to say, well, this they would like this for their survival. They'll get access to all these kids, if there's any kids, and they'll be able to put them straight on their list. That makes admirable sense from their point of view, but it is an enormous disadvantage for all the other clubs. I mean, where's ours, is what all the other clubs say. So it's a very...
Because you're not going to run an academy yourself because...
Well, we can't. We don't have any access to the player. No. They run the academy, correct, have access to the player. Seems like a good idea. We'd love to run it. Well, they did have the New South Wales scholarship system for a while, and we all got some players out of it, and the footy in New South Wales benefited enormously. But that's now been shelved. It's now all any decent player, like Sydney, for example. If they wanted, they've got access to like all of those millions of players or people, and out of them will come some players. And now they say there's a lot of hard work finding them, and they might want to play rugby union, rugby league, soccer, all those other things, but they might not. And they have access to that, and they have access from a very young age. If they wanted to do that, they could make sure that they... And they got to give something up for them in the draft, but it's access to players that other people don't have. So it's a genuine disadvantage for Melbourne clubs particularly.
Changing the rules, aren't they, Neil, for father and son and also those academy players with a point system and how many points a player is worth, so that it's not just match it with your draft pick, your first-round draft pick. You'll have to make up a certain number of points.
There's a model on the table which... I'm not quite smart enough to be able to work out.
Well, no one's actually.
Well, the good news is, though, that this will swing around soon because there'll be no kids playing football in Melbourne. All will be playing soccer. And Collingwood will be able to open up their own academy in Melbourne where they just scoop up all the Melbourne players because all of these kids are playing football in Sydney.
Jeff is in Packet.
It's about 10 years away, I reckon.
G'day, Jeffrey.
Hey, KB. How you going?
Good, thanks. Thanks for joining us with Barmy and DC.
Just a couple of things. I believe that the Anzac Day with the younger people, the loyalty to Anzac Day is slowly fading, where a lot of people just see it as a public holiday. Now, the first thing that came to my head, I'll be honest, awesome, I've got 12 hours of footy. I've got to work in the morning and then I come home watching the footy. I don't see the younger folk. I've never been to a dawn service myself. I'm 34, and I'm not sure if it's slowly going to fade over the years where the loyalty isn't going to be there for Anzac Day and the sport is going to be more of a family day than the footy.
Yeah, it's interesting you make that point. Quite honestly, in the last 15, 20 years, the interest in Anzac Day and the adherence to things like the dawn service has been extraordinary, as far as I... You know, it's quite
growing.
Extraordinary. Now, it may drop off slightly, but I think I think you're in the, Jeff, is it? I think you might be in the minority that haven't actually sort of been to the thing and had a look at it. And there's nothing to see, in a sense. It's just something to experience. And I'm proud of the way people see it now, because it's a long time ago. And, you know, we're all hoping that we're never going to be, or our kids are never going to be in a position where they have to do what happened then. But it is, I think it's marvellous the way we see it and we respect it. And that's why, whilst I argued
it
strongly before,
I do
see what
you mean. I think that the morning should be reserved for, people have to work, life goes on, people are busy, you can choose to do what you want. But we shouldn't have interference from a game, a sporting event that's not really that, doesn't need to be on then. This game can be held some other time. And then after 1 p.m, okay, you've had your moment to reflect, and then life continues as it should continue.
As it did, I think it's different stages during the war. They tell us that they had rest periods where they picked up the injured and the dead, and had a bit of a kick of football.
Yep.
Even with the Turks, that they got together and had a chat, and then seems incredible, doesn't it? Then you go back and take up your positions and start firing at each other again. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Messages are saying they were at Waverley that day. The aisles were absolutely packed. Every walkway was full. Reckon it might have been closer to 100,000 there, not 92,000 at Waverley that day. Just on New Zealand players who, or people from New Zealand backgrounds who have played AFL football. Some of the names coming through: Trent Crowd, Marley Williams, is a Collingwood player. Marley Williams, Peter Bennett, played for Hawthorn and the Bombers. Carmichael Hunt, we're told. Wal Jones was a Kiwi. And Bulldogs player Daniel Pierce. Well, that's what we're told off the SMSs. Shane Savage, Brent Renouf, Kiwis as well.
Wasn't Schwatter New Zealand back
yes,
then?
Yes, he was. He was. I made that mention of that this morning. Wayne Swash, that he was... from New Zealand.
And a lot of people are saying off the SMS quite correctly that, it's the Anzac Days, Australia and New Zealand. We should be celebrating in New Zealand. I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with that at all.
See, they'd be saying over there they're celebrating in their time slot.
Yeah,
and they've got
okay
an AFL game.
Yeah.
Get all that?
I think that's, so he's saying it's okay for them, but to actually bring it in on TV here is a bit of a stretch. I kind of get that.
Oh, hang on.
Bob is in Fremantle.
Don't necessarily agree with it completely, but I do kind of get
Bob's
it.
Over in Fremantle. G'day, Bob.
Hey, fellas, I'm wondering how many players with Armenian history, but we'll talk about that later. Hey,
do you know?
I don't know, but do you know there's only been one player ever born in Italy that played AFL, which is amazing given the Italian heritage in Melbourne and Fremantle.
Who
actually
was that?
Born in Italy.
Where was Jezza born?
Born in Italy that played AFL football, VFL.
Who?
I don't know, but there's more players born in America that have played AFL football.
Look, you reckon that's right, Bob? I'm pretty sure.
Actually born in Italy.
Born in Italy.
Italy. Yeah,
I was on the selection committee for the Italian team of the century.
Right.
The bloke didn't even get a game in your team.
Well, he mustn't have been good enough then. But they certainly...
the Italian team of the century.
The Italian team of the century.
Right.
And so what did you... You just need to have Italian parents.
I think you had to...
Silvio Fischini?
You had to...
Is he in it?
Be
Italian?
Go back to your mother and father or a grandparent, I think.
Right.
Because...
Who was the captain?
Because... captain, I think, was Ron Barassi.
Right.
I think Ron Barassi may have been the captain. John Kennedy Jr., I think, was centre-half back.
Right.
Because his mother's Italian.
Yeah, that's right.
His
yeah.
mother's Italian. But I just seem to just think, Bob, that, we did go back. They did have a long list of people, going way, way back. And I'd be surprised if there was not more than one who actually was born in Italy, then came to Australia and then somehow grew up and played AFL football. But if anyone...